All right, now who's this guy again? Who are you?
I'm the guy with the face for radio.
I hear you.
So it's a good thing I'm here and not in front of a camera. And
say something I'll disagree with.
Well, yeah, you're, you know.
Right.
You were going to close the show before I came on. And I, you know.
I was.
My ego that happens, is just in the toilet
happens
right
when
now.
You get old. despite reports to the contrary, this is Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL LP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces, New Mexico. And the airport is open in El Paso.
Yes.
And I might head down there and take off.
What happened there?
That's this morning's news event. Last
right.
night, the FAA announced that the El Paso airport would be closed until February 21st, when it would reopen for security reasons, undefined. But then just as I came on, a friend texted me that they've countermanded that, and they actually finally gave a little bit of an explanation. Apparently, Mexican cartel drones strayed into our airspace.
Ooh.
Anyway, so I know you don't get up early. We have to on Wednesdays. We being Daisy Maldonado and
yes.
Peter Goodman and our wonderful producer Minerva Rivera. And our guest is actually Steve Fishman of local note for a variety of reasons, not just a wonderful guy, but he also was a state senator, and he had also been a commissioner on the public regulation. Is it
public regulatory commission?
Yeah.
Regulation commission. I get confused because
the one
in California
office.
was different. Was the
public utility commission? PUC.
Yeah, that right. Anyway, we had also hoped to have Steve Michael, who's a lawyer up in Santa Fe or Albuquerque or some such place, who represents Prosperity Works, and they had just intervened in the PRC case. A huge, one of the biggest private equity firms, Blackstone, and one of the worst in terms of its record as a landlord and an employer and a few other things, is acquiring PNM, which means little to us down here, but does serve more than a half million New Mexican electricity customers and a lot in Texas. So Blackstone's trying to acquire PNM. So that was one thing we want to talk about. I know you're well-versed in that, so even though the other Steve ain't here, tell folks about that.
PNM is the largest utility in the state, serves, I think, about 600,000 customers. And generates almost as much electricity as Project Jupiter will.
Oh, my Lord.
We were talking about that earlier.
There you go.
And it's just for people. It's
right?
not for the data center. What are they wasting it on human beings for?
So there you go. They've been they've been trying to sell themselves for a while. And in fact, when I was a commissioner, there was a deal in the works for a Spanish company, Iberdrola, to buy PNM. And we turned that down for a whole bunch of good reasons.
Yes.
And then kind of disappointed to find that a follow-up deal was put together a couple years later now, 3 years later. And Blackstone is not... private equity isn't a great way to take care of utilities. Private equity is all about profit and about profit above market rates. Mm. And, of course, utilities is, as a point of public policy, is all about trying to provide affordable service. You hate to see utilities get into the hands of speculators or people who are looking for high profit.
But Texas has the equivalent of PRC, and they said yes to it.
Idiots.
Yeah. or something.
The problem, one of the core problems with private equity is just put aside Blackstone's past behavior. Even without that, they have probably about 1,500 companies that they own through various funds that they manage for investors. 1,500. And any one of those companies could be doing business with PNM, that utility. And there's a lot of potential for inside dealing. And Blackstone is acquiring many companies that are in the energy industry and energy infrastructure. And they're acquiring a million data centers.
Actually, a couple of eminent U.S. senators are as concerned as you are about that.
Oh, yeah. And so the problem is, you know, when you've got a utility as a regulator, I was required to give them rates that legally had to cover all of their expenses plus a return on their investment. And the problem is, once you've said yes to an expense for utility, it's guaranteed coverage. I mean, you have to cover it in your rates by law. And if they do inside deals with suppliers also owned by Blackstone, you know they're going to set high prices.
To flesh out what you're saying for people who may not have dealt with those kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, they may buy their fleet of trucks from another entity owned by Blackstone and pay something above market rate.
So they pay above market rate at the utility, knowing that regulators, if they haven't sniffed out that it was a skanky deal, are obligated to pay them. So there's this huge incentive for all of these Blackstone portfolio utility-related companies to end up making a bigger profit off of ratepayers for PNM. And boy, can that be expensive.
Now that's a very real and obvious danger. Will our PRC recognize the significance of it, do you think?
Well, it was interesting. They had a public input meeting at the PRC a couple of days back, and 700 people showed up or something like that. I can't. It was a pretty big number. 70 got to speak. Three were in favor of Blackstone.
Yeah.
All the rest, 67 others, were in opposition. And, of course, that's one of the reasons. The other reasons is data centers. Because the other big investments that Blackstone Infrastructure makes is in data centers. And now you get a data center that consumes as much power as the rest of the PNM customer base. And they happen to be an affiliate of PNM because they're both owned by Blackstone. Who do you think is going to get better rates? And, you know, regulators are supposed to sort that out. But there's a lot of information asymmetry.
It's a lot of information. And the other thing they're going to do, which I think people lose the significance of, is they're going to take PNM private. And I don't know the details. I'm no expert. But if you are a public company, you've got to do certain reporting and transparency things that a private equity firm does not have to do.
Yes.
Everything else being equal, I don't think I want to see my utility company go in behind the curtain.
You lose a lot of public reporting. Privately, they're supposed to keep separate books for the company, right? And for regulators to regulate from. But again, you're getting into this morass of 1,500 companies, this portfolio. It's very hard to disentangle things once a company disappears into that ocean of other enterprises.
You know, and Steve, can I ask you, how does this compare to El Paso Electric and its, you know, a few years ago, recent sale, right, to private equity?
They were, and I was on the commission then. I was a new commissioner at the time. And El Paso Electric ownership at the time was so awful that I held my nose, and knowing that private equity is not the best ownership model, I voted yes on that, thinking, how can it possibly be worse than this current ownership? And I rue that mistake to this day.
Okay.
El Paso Electric has failed this community in so many respects since that happened.
Can you be more?
I'll give
a
you
little more
specific things. So renewable energy, yeah, it looks like they're kind of meeting their goals. They're always behind, but the way they meet their goals is if they happen to build something renewable in Texas and they fall short in New Mexico, they just count it towards New Mexico. So it's this. They're playing this game, this whack-a-mole game. And unfortunately, this commission is letting them do it. When it comes to when it comes to being honest with regulators, last year they accidentally failed to report $150 million in transmission investments to the PRC.
$150 million.
And they happened to send notice, you know, after it was well under construction and said, oh, sorry, we goofed. It was an accident. We didn't know. The commission found out afterwards. I'll give you a third example. Electricity utilities joined energy markets. And they can choose among markets that they want to join in this area. One of them is run by SPP, Southwest Power Pool. There's another one that's run by CAISO, California market, where people can sell energy. And it's a fixed price. It's kind of like a stock market in a way. And they provide services that allow you to buy energy at a lower cost because you're in a big market rather than trading one-on-one with other utilities. And a study was done, which market for El Paso Electric would have the best impact for ratepayers. Far and away, it was the CAISO market. Way, 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 way cheaper, way better for customers. And so what did El Paso Electric do? They joined Markets Plus, which belongs to the SP, to the Southwest Power Pool. They joined it, and they didn't tell the commission until after they had made the commitment, even though it was far and away less advantageous to consumers. So I don't know, you know, what the deal is there and why they did that. They claim there are other intangible benefits to it that I guess that they feel are more important than customer bills. And so they've been very dishonest. They haven't met their environmental goals. They are now facing a situation where, and this is the worst of all, because new data centers have wanted to come on board quickly, they've brought them onto the grid before they have the traditionally used level of capacity to serve them. So for the next 5 years, they're saying they're going to have 80% of the capacity to serve peak demand. And they're going to keep that at 80% for the next 5 years and tell us that they're going to be able to give us peak reliable service by buying energy on the open market. Well, what's the problem there? First of all, industry standard is generally you have 110% of your peak capacity. Now, that may be too generous, but people want reliability. Okay. But you're now 30% below what people traditionally have as firm capacity. And you're saying you're going to make it up in short-term markets that are predicted to be expensive and way overbooked because of the data center, because of data center expansion.
And which data centers? Because it wouldn't be Jupiter, right?
There's ones in El Paso that are going up.
Okay.
There's a large one going up in Otero County. Which would be the direct impact on us. But the point is if you think you're not being impacted by data centers and El Paso Electric, I got to tell you, when supplies of electricity are tight. When it's 110 outside, you are at risk in a way you never were before,
right?
Yeah. In terms of your electric service.
Yeah, well, no, and I was just thinking, too, when in the research around data centers and water, and they keep saying, oh, don't worry about water, where you're going to use this other system. But electricity, right, is probably the bigger piece of it. And in order to maintain the temperature needed for those servers and all those chips, the outside temperature, the maximum is like 80 degrees, like 85 degrees. And anything above that means that they require more cooling, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just thinking about our hot summer. I mean, even before then, like, you know, into the spring.
Well, there's lots of nonsense claims that are made around the data centers. So one of them on the power, Project Jupiter still hasn't given any kind of public accounting of how much water the power generation is going to use. And, you know, it's so easy to just say if it's something good. So I assume it's something bad because they won't say.
They ain't talking. With regard to the Blackstone acquisition of PNM, as you know, obviously, but for listeners, one of the sort of standard the PRC's meant to use, or one of them is it in the public interest?
Yes.
And what would be the strongest argument that it is in the public interest?
So there,
which I know you,
I'll tell you in their application.
Yes,
what it is they've never owned a utility, but they claim they have management expertise and a team that can that can help. But they also claim they're going to be hands off and let it run independently. So, guys, which is it? You claim you've got this expert team.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they want the majority on the board to be Blackstone. So why do you need that?
No surprise.
Yeah. Why do you need that if you're going to be hands off?
One of the expert witnesses claimed that they're going to use kind of double leverage by basically placing a lot of debt on the utility. Is that appear to be true, or have we seen enough of their information?
I don't consider that a risk. That's something regulators have access to the books. It's going to keep books as a separate company. It's going to have its own separate credit rating. And the commission has the ability to dictate a capital structure that would prevent there from being too much or too little debt.
Yeah.
Both can be a problem.
Well, and then, so what is the benefit to PNM? I guess that's, so, because you had mentioned that they wanted to sell even before this. So,
this is why these acquisitions happen. Let's see if I can describe it. So the commission, I told you, awards a profit amount.
Right.
As part of a rate case. And it determines how much revenue needs to be collected so they can make that profit. And as part of that process, they say, okay, you have X amount of equity, and we're going to let you earn right now for PNM, it's 9.5% on that equity. So when you buy a utility, it's very safe because when you as an investor, because they have guaranteed income from a customer base that's captive. They can't go anywhere else.
Right.
And you have to really screw up bad to lose money as a utility, because whenever there's an emergency, regulators
hard
tend to come
imagine.
In and be sure they don't go out of business because this is a public service.
Right.
So it's a very safe investment. And so the commissions, and this is across the country, go through this BS process where people submit all this stuff about what kind of return is necessary for investors to keep investing in utilities and keep everything going. And they do these elaborate things going forward, and they say, oh, okay, you need 9.5%, otherwise people won't invest. Well, you look at the market and you look at the stock
9.5%
prices,
gets,
and the stocks are valued at a return of about 6%. Yeah. Well, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if I'm an investor like Blackstone, I kind of look at it like a bond. Is they're going to buy the company at a price that will get them less than a 5% return on current assets, which is not that far out of line with what the real market is. But they know that PNM is about to go on a huge investment spree of about $3.5 billion over the next few years. Well, the commission, based on history, is going to give them a 9.5% return on that $3 billion. And essentially what happens is that asset that I invested a dollar in terms of market value, is worth $1.80 the minute I've spent it. So they're thinking, okay, we'll buy this place, we'll invest the $3.4 billion, then we'll sell it to the market, and it'll be worth damn near 80% more than we paid for.
Let's segue to what sounds like a solution. Your view, as we've talked about before, but I'd like to revisit it and wonder if anybody else, if there's any action. But I know your suggestion, which makes a lot of sense to me, is we got a lot of money in our permanent fund. Why don't we spend a little of it buying PNM? We would have plenty left over, and we'd be making this, and we'd be able to make decisions in the public interest.
For $1.5 to $2 billion, could literally buy controlling interest in PNM.
And we've got how many PNM?
There's about $66 billion right now in that fund.
So we could spend basically whatever it is, 6% of it.
And hire a board that actually cares about
the
public
interest. Hire a board that cares
about
people and service the state with good energy, service it well without rip-off product profits that somebody in New York has to make. And if we are making more profits than we should, it goes into our state. Where is that getting any traction, or is it just idiots like you and me and Daisy that say,
There are some discussions going on.
This would be a great time.
Put it, we've succeeded at least getting it in the discussion. There's lots of resistance to it. Mm-hmm. It's not the traditional way that the permanent
funds
thinks of
itself.
Yeah, well,
we have to do things the way everybody else always.
And it's... No one's raised an issue that says it's a bad idea. What you've heard is a lot of just kind of small bureaucratic arguments that really are just inertia. It's people have never been used to thinking of it that way. So, but no one's raised an issue that says this would be a problem.
How do we get it more traction, more publicity?
It'd be nice to have a governor who understood the issues and appointed SIC members who, State Investment Council members, who actually had a broader vision than just buying the highest return stock.
Now, the New Mexico Investment Council, is that the state?
That's State Investment Council, yeah. So they manage the permanent funds.
And they are an investor in Blackstone.
Yes, they are. And Blackstone, by the way, got off to a great start the commission's looking at issues, whether this is a good deal for New Mexico or not. Interveners have found that they went out and they issued, as part of the deal in soliciting bids for PNM, they asked people for $400 million of financing up front. And that financing was through an issuance of new shares of stock, $400 million. And they, when you issue new financing that's that extensive, you need to get commission permission. Mm-hmm. Blackstone bought the initial $400 million worth of shares to get in the game for this acquisition. Neither PNM or Blackstone reported anything to the commission about this equity thing. And quite frankly, the law says, and the rule around that equity says, we could nix that deal at any moment. Well, why did they hide the ball on that? And they sold the shares to a third company, which then transferred the shares to Blackstone. But before they did that, they voted as shareholders to approve the merger. So it was a way of getting $400 million worth of votes for the transaction.
One last very quick question, because we're out of time.
Yeah.
What are the odds that the PRC will approve this?
Well, I don't know. The public hates it. These are the governor's appointees. She loves it. She loves data centers. She's hiding right now. But everything she does tells us that's what she cares about.
Yeah.
She may be as famous as Susana Martinez down the road. Infamous.